Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Well, hello, Ghostly. Thank you for bringing in all of our listeners. Now, if you could just shut the fuck up, that'd be great. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to yet another Out of This World episode from Freaks and Geeks. I am your host, April, and that is one of my co-hosts, Ghost. If this is your first time joining us, head over to the Book of Faith and check out our page. Give us a like, hang out a bit. We love interacting with our listeners and encouraging our page fans to let us know what you're into. Whether it be the Neolithic, like we've been talking about lately, or the Out of This World, which our topic is tonight, we have plenty to offer. As always, I'm joined by my fellow geeks, Carrie.
Hello, hello.
And Stacy.
Hey, everybody.
And the caramel cords of Christopher.
Yeah, it's time to get back out there. Just trying to get out there and explore the unknown. Just get down and deep into it.
Christopher, Jesus Christ.
Hey. It's okay. Love you.
It's okay. Breathe. Breathe, April.
Love you.
Why do I envision you sitting there fanning yourself right now, April?
I wish I had a fan to fan myself with.
She really wants one of those. Was it a clack fan?
Yeah, it's called Clack That Fan, and it's got all these delicious little sayings on them, and I really want one.
She just wants one so she can walk around the house, like, closing it and opening it.
Like, that's how I'll respond to things. Like, when I'm, like, not going to deign things with a response, I'll just clack my fan at them. Like, there's this one.
Oh, my God.
The library is open, and it's so that you can read people, and I'm like, that's mine.
It's a big accessory with drag queens.
There's also one that's the Babadook, and he's got, like, this rainbow behind him, and it's the Babashook. Instead of the Babadook, it's the Babashook.
Yes!
That's right. We need one. We need them. That's all I need to respond to people. I just need to clack my fan at them.
I mean,
honey,
you know,
in Victorian times,
they had a whole language with fans. Civil War, too.
I believe Uhura in Star Trek had a whole language with fans, too.
She had a fan dance.
Yeah. She
danced with fans.
Fans.
I fear getting you one because I know, like, I'm going to come home and you're going to be like, honey, I got fired today. I'll be like, what did you do? She's like, I clacked my fan at the wrong person.
I'm going to get a dirty fan and then clack it.
They didn't appreciate my fan clack. Do you think aliens have black fans? Are they the ones who invented them?
Okay. All right. Listen.
Hey, Ghost. He's got something to say.
Beat this dog.
This is why we don't let the dogs in here.
Well, it's not that, because he'd be doing that regardless.
At least when the door's closed.
I want to see a studio picture.
I will give you a studio picture because he looks really guilty right now. He looks so guilty.
Aww. Poor Ghostly. He's such a good puppy.
He's probably barking at the people in the camper next to our house.
Ghostly. No, we don't want a picture of your penis.
Well, that's lovely.
Yeah, well, that's all you're going to get right now. So I'll just have to take one later. Yeah. But
don't post that to the Facebook
page. And that's why he's barking.
It could be. It could be. He's, you know, a special pup. Since we've gotten him groomed, all of his, like, privacy fur has gotten groomed out. So he has no privacy.
Do you think he's ornery? He's ornery because his jingle jangles are out for the world to see?
His chocolate dip balls.
Jesus.
Well, you know,
I'm so glad I rated this episode as R.
Yeah, that was a good move.
The sack itself is black or dark in color, and then the top of it's like pink, you know, like normal.
How about them aliens, huh?
But the rest of him is pink.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have any black on him.
How about them aliens?
It's just his balls.
Hey, about them aliens?
You don't want to talk about... He wants to talk about his balls.
I understand what he wants to talk about.
It's these fucking people beside us in this camper. Who in their right mind? Okay, listen. So let me preface what I'm about to say right now by the fact that I'm going to be real embarrassed when we get to make friends with our neighbors and they're really close to us and we're like, yeah, listen to our show sometime. And they're like, ooh, Seti, that sounds cool.
Wait, here's the question. Why do you think we'll be friends with our neighbor?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, like, because this is how it works. Because I'm going to talk shit about them on the show, and then they're going to listen.
I don't give
episode.
A shit about our neighbors.
Okay. Well, you don't now, but how do you know Tom and Janet aren't lovely?
They're probably serial
killers.
Here's
the thing. In my mind, you guys aren't going to live down there long enough to make good friends with those neighbors. So go ahead and talk fucking shit.
I would like
shit.
To hope so. But
I've lived in my house almost 10 years, and I don't even know my neighbors' names. And one of them has
Boom.
Lived here since my great-grandmother lived here.
Life goals.
See, there you go.
No, I want to know everyone's names.
Well, you're an old Polish lady.
No,
I am an old
no, because,
lady.
No, you don't want that, because then they come over and they borrow shit, and then they, like, talk to you and stuff when you don't want to talk to anybody. Like, no, you're good.
No, I definitely want to, you know, like, I definitely want that experience with neighbors.
You don't.
And I do. I like it.
I think you forget that you don't actually like people.
Yeah, that's important.
This is true.
Oh, now they're going to hump each other in front of us, the dogs.
Oh,
hey. Free show. A show within
all right,
a show.
So
yeah.
So, wait a minute. I was talking about this fucking camper. Hold on. Hold on.
Okay,
we're going to
get
the camper.
All right.
Okay,
so
the new neighbors, so there is a brand new house that has been built. Basically, our next door neighbor, although there's a lot in between us that hasn't been built on yet, but I think they're going to probably pretty soon. But so our new neighbors have moved into their house as of this morning. But something else that's different is that empty lot that's beside us, they park their big ass camper on the lot. And I think that there are people staying in the camper.
Is there a neighborhood association you can call in?
There is. I am not about that snitch life.
Yet.
Anonymous.
I'm not about that snitch. You know, like, I just don't, I'm not that, cause I do a lot of things that are not necessarily HOA approved. So I'm not going to say anything, but I'm also kind of like waiting for shit to happen, because knowing the people in this neighborhood, it's going to be about, they've probably already been reported several times today.
It is.
Oh,
true.
I'm sure they probably have.
I just thought it was funny because, like, I was hoping that people weren't living in it. Like, they just parked it there thinking that, like, hey, there's this open spot. And, like, like somebody will purchase that lot and then their shit will just get towed away. that would be funny to me.
So
I can't
wait,
imagine
so wait, they don't,
what they are thinking.
They don't own the lot?
No, they don't own the lot. They just set up their camper
then they
on it.
See, that's the kind of shit that fucking pisses me off. They don't own the land. Get your fucking shit off of it. I mean, like, that's so presumptuous and just arrogant and just entitled. Like, I just hate it. See, that,
Well, you know what you have to do now? Park your car and the lot right up against the camper so the door can't even be open.
Oh.
And then they can say, oh, I'm sorry, I thought we were just using this as a communal parking lot.
Oh my god.
Well, you'll have to wait till you get your 4Runner back, because I don't think that little car you've
got
right now is going to be.
I got into that accident, and now I have a rental car, and it is a pack of gum in comparison to what I did have. It's a pack
Spearmint
of gum.
Spearmint or wintergreen?
Ooh, wintergreen.
It's big red.
It is not big. There's nothing big about it.
It's a French stripe gum.
At least zebra stripe gum.
Yeah. There
as long
is,
as it's not Chinese fortune gum.
It's a Chevy Malibu with literally no options other than it does have a sunroof, oddly enough. But, like, even the doors are made out of plastic. Like, it's just one big sheet of plastic, like a police car.
The Chevy Malibu is such a shit car. I had that once. I swear to God, they use that whenever you get in an accident. I had one of those once when I was in an accident, and I swear to God, I was afraid to do anything inside it, like even drive it, because I was afraid I would, like, open the door or something and the whole thing would crack because it's all plastic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all 100% plastic, and it feels like you are actually, like, on a go-kart. Like, you're riding above the ground.
Yes.
Just barely.
Yes.
That's what my car is like. Yes.
Well, you know who doesn't ride around in plastic shit?
Aliens.
Who?
Aliens.
Oh, my God. All right,
aliens.
Christopher, let's get going. Jesus Lord. Okay.
I want to talk about some aliens, babe.
Aliens. Aryans. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's do it.
Aryans.
Could such a thing be possible?
Such a thing is possible there, caramel
yes,
cords. So tonight, we are going to explore the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence Institute, also known as SETI. Think of the burning questions we all have had at some point in our lives. Are we alone? Who is phone? Does life exist beyond our planetary system? What are the implications if we aren't alone? How could we hope to know and subsequently understand what we found? Each of these questions, for which the answers are regularly sought out and explored by countless organizations around the world. However, few are quite so intriguing or dedicated as the SETI Institute, consisting of three primary centers, each dedicated to a specific purpose. SETI has set itself on the noble and daunting mission of seeking answers many could only hope to discuss casually over a beer in one of Ridley Scott's timeless classics.
Yeah, about how they reproduce, about putting aliens in your body.
Yep.
Okay, so I just recently watched Prometheus, and then I watched Alien the Covenant, and I'm a huge, huge fan of the Alien series. And let me tell you something, my hypochondriac self, I have no idea why I love these movies, because everything is so biological. Like, why does everything have to, like, go down the throat and grow inside the body and push out through the stomach? And it's just like, it's so absolutely horrifying. But, oh, God, it's so good.
I mean,
I can't help but watch it.
It's, I mean, I think you kind of put it right there. It's like gives you an uneasy feeling watching it, because it's like you could almost see it happening to yourself.
Yes. And, like, I will tell you, if you've never seen Prometheus or the sequel to that, Alien the Covenant, I highly recommend them, because being a huge fan of the Alien series, and then going back and watching these, which I believe are supposed to be like prequels.
Yeah.
I mean, they were extremely interesting. I'm not saying that I was totally satisfied with how Alien the Covenant ended and sort of like how that all wrapped up, but I will say that the whole organic aspect, especially when you watch The Covenant. Have you guys seen The Covenant?
I have not.
I don't watch Alien
movies.
Like
the,
yeah.
Like
Carrie refuses to watch alien movies.
The Covenant is the one where they have, like, the little eggs and, like, the stuff kind of, like aerosols out, and, like, you see it. Oh, Jesus Christ, that dog scared me.
The people in the fucking camper, I'm telling you.
No, but it sprays out, and then it, like, floats in the air, and then you see it, like, go up somebody's nose, and they don't notice it, or it goes in their ear hole, and they don't notice it, and it's just, like, so fucking disturbing. I mean, God, what a mastermind to create this. I know, right? Like, where is your Orm?
Well,
like,
I mean,
there's no Orm. There's no Orm going on in the Aliens movies.
Have you played the Aliens video game?
No, I have not. And here's the thing, like, with video games like that, like, I will get scared. Like, I will sit there and
I think
will
that's kind of
feel
the point.
Well, I mean, that I would probably, I don't know, I should probably, do they have, for, is there any for, there, I imagine they probably have one for PlayStation 4, right? Or 3, I don't know.
Maybe.
You're the resident
I know
gamer.
I know it's on PC. I don't know if it was brought to any other consoles. But if I may talk about, I think the best Alien movie is Alien versus Predator.
I disagree. It's definitely the original Aliens.
Aliens?
Aliens.
Aliens.
No, see, I like Aliens with Bill Paxton. Where he's like, I'm not kidding, man. Like, see,
I mean, I can barely get through Mars Attacks, so.
Fine.
Mars Attacks.
Does it
like,
scare
Mars
you?
Mars Attacks is. It's a weird combination of like scary and funny.
I don't think it's scary at all.
I mean,
it's not scary at all.
It's got moments. I got scared by Ernest Scared Stupid.
Okay, well,
that
that's
was scary when you're like
scary.
Terry, why don't you like alien movies?
I don't
watch any horror movies.
Really?
Yeah. They're too scary.
She likes.
But you're a paranormal investigator.
Indeed.
And you know what's funny? She will come up with the most god-awful, true, historical, crazy shit that has happened. And it's like
right.
something that you would easily find on a horror movie.
Truth is stranger than fiction.
And she's just like, yeah, back in the day, you know, being drawn and quartered. I mean, they used to take your intestines out and wrap them around a long pole. And then they would have, you know, like horses drawn. And then they would just drag them out. And then they would roll them back up and stick them back inside you with ants and stuff. Ants and honey on them, and you're just like staring at her like, okay, good
but
talk.
See, that's not scary because that's history.
Correct. That's why the only true crime podcasts I can listen to when it comes to like serial killers are like Jack the Ripper.
You don't listen to the other ones?
No, I mean, I can manage like H.H. Holmes, but any of the modern ones I can't listen to.
Carrie Longest. Well, I mean, that's history.
Well,
too.
No, she did. She did listen to BTK with us because she was in the car when we were laughing our asses off at the hot dog spot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've listened to ones in the car with y'all, but other than that,
what about you, April?
What about me?
What's your favorite Alien movies?
Alien, for sure.
The first
what's
one.
That, yeah, what's that one where? I think it is. All right, so there's like a scientific facility, and it's in like the Arctic or the Antarctic, and it's like a body snatcher type situation. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Are we talking about an alien movie, like in the
like
world
something...
of Alien?
No.
Or are you talking about The Thing?
I think it's The Thing. Hold on, let me Google it. It's got somebody super famous in it, but it was like made in the 80s, and it basically is like
John Carpenter's The Thing.
Who?
It's John Carpenter's The Thing.
It might be, but like the ice is melting, and there's this thing in the ice, and it's like another.
It like sprouts legs, and it's like it can morph into stuff, and it grows a grotesque face, and.
Like it becomes people, like people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the thing.
Okay. All right.
So they did a remake of it recently, I believe.
Oh, really? Ooh. Yeah, this is definitely it because I remember the dog.
Okay, Kurt
is
Russell.
It John Carpenter?
Yeah, it was Kurt Russell. That's what I was thinking. That's exactly who it was. And yeah. Keith David, too. And Wilford Brimley, of course.
I do enjoy me some Keith
oh,
David.
Oh, Wilford
yeah.
Brimley.
So I'm not really sure that this is like a pure
diabetes.
I'm not really sure that this is a pure alien. Like I'm not they don't ever really specify whether it's an alien or not. It's something that was locked in the ice in the Antarctic that was like mistakenly, but I kind of would put it in that camp. So I really like
just
that.
Just put
movie
it all
well.
In the same canonical universe.
That movie scared the shit out of me as a grown ass adult.
You know what alien movie? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's not an alien movie. Maybe it's more just like a space movie. Okay, so when I think of SETI, I always think of The Arrival with Charlie Sheen. With the aliens with the knees that go backwards.
Oh, God. Yes.
And then I have concerns because we got real loose joints in my family, so our knees have been backwards.
Carrie, do you think you're an alien?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh
well,
my
Carrie,
God! That's
before funny. We move on, it's kind of an aside. You said you don't like scary movies, but do you like superhero movies?
I do like superhero movies.
Well, you're gonna the next Brightburn. Doctor Strange. The next Doctor Strange movie is said to be the first horror movie in the MCU.
I know, I saw that. So here's what I have to do to watch a scary movie. It has to be like a sunny day outside.
Oh my god.
Curtains.
I'm gonna have my feet
might be touching the ground.
I'm gonna fly April back and she's going to go with you and you can just sort of hold on to her.
I'm absolutely shocked at this. Honestly, as your friend of like 26, 20 fucking million years right now, I am shocked by this revelation.
Listen, so,
breaking news.
Carrie doesn't listen to horror or anything.
I did see the first Rob Zombie remake of Halloween in the movie theater. But like
that was fucking disturbing.
Well, scary movies like that don't,
well, that's a slasher
don't bother
movie.
Me.
I don't know if
yeah,
that's
slash,
I don't
think slasher movies slasher movies don't bother me. That's whatever. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't think there's a
scary.
I can't do jump scare movies. I can't do those.
You can't do horror movies, period.
This is true.
I can't do anything that deals with like God shit. Like I can't. Like if it's like possessions and like demons and stuff like that, I can't watch that. That really scares me. Like slasher, I'm good. Aliens, I'm good. When it comes to like the movies like The Exorcist or like Amityville, like those really freak me out.
So well, I guess you didn't see The Nun.
No, but I will tell you, I have watched, what are the other ones with that couple?
The Conjuring?
Yes.
It's the Conjuring
series. I was so scared just thinking about it. Like, I was so freaked out. I had the blanket up on my face, and I was peeking over the blanket. Yeah, it was scary.
Yeah, well, you know.
I mean, I will give you that. The Conjuring did give me some good jump scares. I honestly haven't been, like, truly scared by a movie in a really long time. And my I've said this before on the show, but, like, my kryptonite, if you will, for scary movies, the only thing that bothers me, usually,
is feet.
Zombies. I can't. Like, I will watch the movie, and I will be fine,
but
I will
not
sleep that night.
Are we not
going to
go see Zombieland
2, then? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not going to not see it, but I'm going to tell you right now that I will not plan on sleeping that night. I'll be awake that whole night.
Well, there'd be another reason for that.
Yeah, so that's my thing, is zombies. Like, I'll be awake, freaking plotting out, you know, like, all right, well, what's
going to happen? In her witch room just doing all the rituals.
Yeah. Well, not rituals, but like watching for zombies. We'll be watching for zombies across the hills.
Well, at least there's a lot of open space for you.
That's true. That is true. There
right,
I go sneak up on it.
We've gotten so way off topic now.
Okay. Yeah.
What I was going to say was I'm not sure it's alien. It's more like just space movie that terrified me. Is Event Horizon.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, that's such a good movie.
That'll pull Earth.
So, like, after we watched it, one of my younger brothers hid in my room to jump out and scare me.
That's what we call a dick move.
Well, that's okay. I punched him in the face, so it's all good.
That is fantastic. Event Horizon is a fucking classic.
Sam Neill is horrifying. I am 1,000% convinced that he can unzip his human suit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sam Neill is fantastic.
Absolutely.
Unzip his human suit. Oh my god.
We are having a great time talking about this, and I wish we had an entire episode to devote to it. So the very next like show lineup that we're going to do is going to obviously be over Halloween, right? So the next ones we have coming up. And so around the end of September around Halloween, we're going to have some really special content that we're going to put out. And one of the shows is definitely going to be very free formatted. Like usually – Carrie and I, every the end of every September, Carrie and I do a show called Friendiversary. Because it's the anniversary of when we met, and it's also the anniversary of kind of like how we got, when we got the show started again, and like all these things. And so we usually have a bunch of people on, and we just kind of free form it. But maybe this time we'll just talk about random shit.
Ooh,
I can't believe you remember. Do you remember the day you guys met?
Yes.
Because I don't, I know the general time frame me and my friends met. That's about it.
I mean, for the most part, I do, because it was Carrie's birthday.
Yeah, it was his birthday. Yeah. I could probably nail it down to a day.
Yep.
Wow.
And it had just been April's birthday, so.
Mm-hmm. And it had just been my birthday. So.
Wow.
Wow. Oh.
All right, back to
right,
Betty.
Here, I'm going to bring us back. All right.
Bringing it back. All right. So, founded in 1984 by Thomas Pearson and Dr. Jill Tarter, SETI was codified as a 501c3 nonprofit organization and immediately began attracting some of the most brilliant minds. Affluent members and contributors to the organization's creation and funding throughout the years include the likes of Carl Sagan, Hewlett-Packard's very own David Packard and William Hewlett, and George Papadopoulos, Charles Towns, inventor of the laser, and Barack Bloomberg, creator of the hepatitis B vaccine. Both Nobel laureates also boast previous associations to the SETI Institute. As clearly seen by a few of SETI's founders and members, it is an institute which boasts an intellectual power uniquely befitting its self-proclaimed mission, which is to explore, understand, and explain the origin and nature of life in the universe and the evolution of intelligence.
Okay, so despite its intellectual affluence, SETI remains unbeholden to any government agency, representative, or entity, which is absolutely amazing to me. The organization and its operations remain largely upheld by private contributions and interests alike. Now, this is not to say that the organization is without government cooperation, though, because in the 60s, NASA and SETI began engaging in joint projects, NASA-SETI joint programs, as per the NASA History Program Office, include the likes of Project Orion, the Microwave Observing Project, the High Resolution Microwave Survey, and toward other planetary systems. However, SETI-NASA official cooperation was eventually brought to a screeching halt in 1992, and that's when Congress canceled their joint programs for the time being.
I think it's the best if they don't have like a government that they assign themselves to. At least gives them kind of free rein.
I agree.
Be able to.
I would agree with that.
Explore as they see fit. Until they discover something, and then every other government's like, "Oh, they're with us. That is our moon
science
rock."
Science knows no political boundaries until the discovery, and then
until it
serves everybody's on
somebody's
it.
Purpose.
Exactly.
All right. So regardless of Congress's cancellation of NASA-SETI joint projects, those in which SETI was engaged in had unprecedented technological significance. Project Orion, for example, was the exploration of nuclear pulse propulsion theory. In short, it was a project which sought to determine the viability of atomic-powered space propulsion as a means to achieve efficient and powerful propulsion. It was believed that Project Orion would provide a cheap answer to interplanetary travel. However, political approval was lost over concerns with nuclear fallout caused by the propulsion method. So, assumingly, they thought that it would cause, like, Chernobyl effects all over the place where they tested it. What it sounds like.
I mean, I'm not a nuclear physicist or anything, but I feel like they have already done that. They've already done that somewhere in the United States and also in Russia. And also,
I believe it's called White Sands.
It's White Sands. It's also fucking Area 51 and all those places.
Yeah. I mean, like, I just think the word nuclear scares people.
Yes, it does.
I think at this point it has like a negative connotation just built into it.
I guess.
Like, I mean, like, you look at Fukushima, you look at Chernobyl, you look at Three Mile Island, you look at all that stuff. And, like, just the idea of nuclear just gives people, like, a twinge.
You know, there have been so many more nuclear incidents than just those three.
Oh, yeah. Those are definitely the biggest.
And some of those,
most,
like,
well-known, I'd say.
Yeah, and some of those are not even...
I mean, Three Mile Island, I don't think it even had casualties, did it?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, but I remember that growing up in Pennsylvania, so...
There's actually, like, a ton of other incidents where, like, people did die and no one's ever heard of it. Like, you can go on Wikipedia, and Wikipedia actually has a whole running tally of, like, nuclear disasters, and they have ranked them. They've ranked them by, like, terms of, like, the most devastation to... Yeah, I don't think Chernobyl's number one. I'm not sure, but I think
Fukushima, I think, would have beat it.
I think Fukushima is, like, number one.
Well, then there you go. That's probably why they don't want to do this shit.
We know our horrific accidents.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
we know
the horrors of humanity.
Did you know that there is a nuclear bomb that is in North Carolina, I believe, in a swamp?
I thought you were going to say North Korea, and I was going to be like, uh-oh.
What?
No. Yeah, there's, like, a nuclear bomb that's in...
That's a UXO, isn't it? It didn't explode?
Yeah, it didn't explode, but they had to jettison it over either North Carolina or South Carolina.
Yep.
Hold on.
I think it's in the water.
It's in the swamp.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, like a plane was... I think a plane was going down, and they had to release the payload.
They thought they were going down. I don't think they actually went down.
That's
just
great.
I mean, you know, just another day, another train admission.
So there was one in South Carolina, but that's not the one I'm actually talking about. Hold on. There's another one. So this actually was a mid-air collision against...
alien spacecraft?
An F-86 and a B-47. And so this is in Georgia, actually. So, yeah, they lost a 7,600-pound Mark 15 nuclear bomb in the waters off Tybee Island near Savannah, Georgia.
Good job,
I know,
boys.
Just know there.
Yeah, so that's the second one that I just told you about. So there's one in South Carolina, there's one in Georgia.
You mean North Carolina?
No, South Carolina.
Oh. A beautiful day in the neighborhood. Beautiful day for a neighborhood.
I'm gonna have great nightmares tonight.
Well, just watch the Mr. Rogers movie trailer with Tom Hanks and you'll feel a lot better.
Oh my God, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, don't
if
even
don't
get
cry.
Me started on that. Don't even get me started on that. You know I'm a Pittsburgh girl. Don't even get me started.
Carrie, did you have a bad cry?
I mean, I just, of course I did. What kind of question is that? I sometimes just think about Mr. Rogers and cry.
One of the few pure human beings that we have memory of.
Yep.
All right, you want
Okay. All right, my All right. turn. One other project of particular interest includes the Microwave Observing Project, also known as the Sky Survey Observing Program. Taking place from 1990 to 1999 and boasting an initial startup cost of $12.1 million, the stated project goal was to carry out a search for microwave signals of extraterrestrial intelligent origin. Sky Survey encompassed targeted telescopic radio monitoring of more than 800 solar-type stars and wide-scale frequency observation over the whole sky at a moderate spectral resolution. What this ultimately meant was that NASA and SETI conducted blanket observation at a moderate frequency range in the event anything near our planetary system operated at that frequency. In conjunction with that, the program would also conduct targeted observation of adjacent solar systems to fine-tooth comb for signs of intelligent life. And what happened?
I'll put on my tinfoil hat.
They heard Katy Perry's Firework.
I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat. And so I think that Congress put the kibosh on this cooperation because they know that something's out there, and they were getting too close to the truth. They didn't want the truth to get out there, and they didn't want the public to just go up in arms to finally learn that, you know, there is something out there, and it's malicious.
You know, I think that's, in a way, Chris, that's kind of valid, because if you think about it, with that sort of public-private partnership, okay, they really don't have, if NASA were to, say, find something, and they are in working with a private organization like that that has so many people that are pure to the nature of science and to the belief that, you know, people should learn from that and should know about it, there's very little control that they have over what is disseminated from those projects, right? So to take away that sort of funding keeps them away from, you know, maybe some resources that will keep that, that will get them closer to discovering what may already be known. Mm-hmm. I have my tinfoil hat on as well.
I think, I wonder if Bill Nye is part of SETI.
I
can't say I can't say it without thinking of like the freaking Pharaoh.
I know, right?
Every time I say it, it's just, all I can think of is just the pharaohs from Egypt.
You know why?
Why?
SETI's partnership with NASA got shut down because aliens, and the ancient Egyptians were aliens. Boom, that's why I'm saying SETI.
Hashtag pyramids built by aliens. Hashtag truth bombs. Hashtag knowledge.
And
hashtag truth bomb.
I think a couple weeks ago, maybe Chris mentioned Ramses II, who was like the greatest pharaoh of Egypt and lived the longest. He was like 93 years old when he died. You know who his father was? SETI the First.
Oh, shit.
You know who
he
is emperor?
He also has the most monuments, does he not?
Ramses II, yep.
Well, yep. You also know that that SETI was the pharaoh when Imhotep got sent away and buried for touching the pharaoh's wife.
Okay, so that's not totally correct, because Imhotep, the real life
Here
Imhotep,
comes
was
truth
not
bomb.
A priest. He was not a priest. He did architect, I guess, and maybe it's the closest thing I can call him. But he did, you know, plan the pyramids.
He's a city planner.
He's a city manager.
Are you telling me the mummy isn't historically accurate? Because I refuse to believe that anything that Brendan Fraser participates in is not historically accurate.
What we're saying right now is that Imhotep was no more than a glorified bureaucrat.
They also didn't live at the same time either.
God damn it.
He's just dropping truth bombs.
I mean, that's kind of what Carrie does.
Everywhere.
I assume when Carrie's at work, she's just dropping knowledge bombs on everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I bet everybody's in love with her.
She has everybody's 23andMe DNA, you know, results.
I know.
Stashed away.
She knows it all.
In like a cabinet. Did you know why? That you didn't get enough sleep? Because your DNA shows that you require more sleep than the average human.
Preach it, triple cousin.
Oh, where are you poking me?
You're over there being antisocial.
Well, I'm trying to find out if Bill Nye is a member of SETI, and it is not clear. And it's not clear. It's not clear cut here. All right. So Bill Nye and as well as Neil deGrasse Tyson, they both are members of the Planetary Society. And the Planetary Society and SETI have some sort of
cooperation, or
I'm trying to figure it. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out if it's like, if SETI is a part of the Planetary Society, or if the Planetary Society is like a side piece to SETI. Like, I don't.
Yeah, I'll call
understand.
You later. Just keep it rare.
Keep it on the DL.
So it doesn't appear that
he's
necessarily a part of SETI, but there is some cooperation.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just ask Terry? Why didn't you just ask her? Of course she knows.
Well, because I wanted to look it up myself. I know. Because Carl Sagan founded the Planetary Society, and he was also a part of SETI, was he not?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's definitely a crossover there.
Terry is our walking Wikipedia.
I know. I want to do it for myself.
I know you're
a strong, independent.
You're a strong, independent black woman who don't need no man. Sometimes it's okay to ask for a little help.
Oh, hey, Carrie.
You look like you need a hug.
Carrie, come on now. Bring
she's
it back,
stabbing,
Carrie.
She's stabbing me with her eyeballs right
I need
now.
To give you a high well, five right now, Christopher, in the face.
All right, well, April murders Christopher.
Yeah, well, that happens. Come on, Carrie.
Okay.
She'll be the most murder ever.
So where is SETI now? They're still actively engaged, leading the proverbial charge in the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Boasting 3 primary centers and dozens of satellite offices. Satellites. See what I did there? SETI does.
Oh, yeah.
SETI does everything it can to advance in its mission. Among its 3 primary centers, the Carl Sagan Center sits at the undeniable crown jewel of SETI. Home to more than 80 scientists and researchers, the Carl Sagan Center focuses its research on astronomy and astrophysics, exoplanets, planetary exploration, climate and geoscience, astrobiology, and the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. The researchers are guided by an astrobiology roadmap based around the Drake equation and strive to understand the proliferation of life across the universe.
Oh, God. So when we talk about dream jobs, when we, you know, just rattle off the focus of that research, oh, my God. Astrophysics, exoplanets, astrobiology.
Makes me wet thinking about
it,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When we talk about the Drake, when we talk about the Drake equation, it makes me wonder how we started from the bottom, now we're here.
Well, the Drake equation, for those who don't know it, is an argument of probability used to estimate the number of active, communicative, extraterrestrial civilizations in the Milky Way galaxy. Now, before anyone's mind goes racing, no, Dr. Frank Drake, the progenitor of the Drake equation, did not prove intelligent life exists. So that did not happen.
Oh, wait, but wait. Can I just? His name is Dr. Frank. Dr. Frank Drake, and he's exploring space, like Sir
Francis Drake.
Wait,
oh,
who?
Shit.
Sir Francis Drake.
Who the fuck is Sir Francis Drake?
Oh, my God.
I'm a ghost person. I'm not
a history person.
No. Oh, my God. That's history. That's so weird.
That is
Oh, my God. It's like
weird.
The fucking.
Okay.
Like the
so Sir Francis Drake was like Elizabeth the I's main dude. He was a privateer, like. Fought in the English-Spanish War, you know, the Great Lake.
You're not
war
telling me anything about why he would be connected to the aliens.
Well, no. She's just saying that maybe there's
they
a
have
link
the same name, and they were both explorers.
Oh,
this man was exploring space.
Oh, now I get it. I was like, I don't know of any Francis Drake that found aliens. Like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, Sir Francis Drake may have run across civilizations that did work in cahoots with aliens,
or that were.
We have
no
idea.
So he circumnavigated the globe in 3 years, and he was the most like renowned seaman of the Elizabethan era.
All right. So now I know who Sir Francis Drake is, but I thought we were talking about some other person that was involved in.
Yeah, we're talking about Frank Drake.
We are.
No.
We're talking about Frank Drake, but
hi.
I can't say Frank
I'm
Drake.
Not confused.
I can't say.
Everyone.
I keep saying
I'm
Frank
not
Drake. I can't say Frank Drake. It's okay. I just did. All right.
All right. So what?
No,
what is your question?
Same
I
name.
Have no question now. Well, it's not. One's Francis, but okay.
Well.
Well.
So
See how not confused I am? That's how not confused I am.
Now we're just confused on what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
No, I'm not trying to say anything else. I thought we were talking. You know how like you think somebody's talking about something crazy, and then it turns out they're talking about something very normal, and you just don't, you can't comprehend because your mind is somewhere else. Like you're thinking about
that's every
crazy
day of my
shit.
Life.
That never happens to me.
I don't doubt that. If I blew into your ears, it would whistle, Christopher. You're very pretty.
That's so mean. That's mean. I'm very intelligent.
Okay.
Listen.
All right. Don't fight. Don't fight. Okay. All right. So, okay, back to the Drake equation. So what Dr. Frank Drake did was created an equation based around the realm of probability to determine an approximation tool for intelligent life rather than a serious attempt to determine a precise number. The equation itself summarized concepts of consideration for scientists when they consider the question and contemplate on the presence of radiocommunicative life. Radiocommunicative life is precisely what it sounds like, intelligent life capable of communicating over radio wavelengths and transmissions. Sound as the equation might seem, though, it has drawn heavy criticism by skeptics because estimated values present in the equation rely heavily on conjecture, and we know that one thing science hates is conjecture. This makes the Drake equation to be little more than a theoretical equation rather than a definitive one in the eyes of many academics.
Well, I mean, they're kind of correct, being that anything in mathematics or science is only proven and only becomes fact when it's been done repeatedly and gets the same answer over and over and over and over again.
Right.
Until
you
then,
have
it's
to,
just
right,
until then it's just a theory. So and
right, you have
when,
to do the proof.
And for what the Drake equation is trying to solve, at this point we have no idea. Like, are the variables accurate?
Right.
Anywho, I believe he did his homework, so it's probably fairly accurate. But maybe
I believe he's
maybe
smarter than me, so I'm fairly confident.
Who am I to question a man that probably?
Who am I to question?
Yeah. I don't know, Santa Claus. Okay, so regardless of their equations and methods being based primarily around theory and conjecture, the SETI Institute remains largely undaunted. SETI also likely remains empowered thanks to the interest its work has drawn, resulting in a renewal of collaboration between SETI and NASA. As well as partnership with the National Science Foundation. For example, many of the SETI Institute scientists participate as investigators in NASA space flight missions. Interesting. SETI is a key research contractor for both of these organizations, as well as a major collaborator with industry in the Silicon Valley, drastically extending its sphere of industry-related and academic influence. Other notable partners and collaborators include Google Cloud, the European Space Agency, Lockheed Martin, NVIDIA, get them graphics cards, IBM, Intel, and more. Theoretical or not, SETI clearly possesses an undertaking which holds the interests of the world's most influential and powerful industry leads. Well, maybe they're in cahoots with all these people because they have all the alien technology and they reverse engineered it to help these people with their technological advances.
You mean Elon Musk?
Yeah, I wonder if SpaceX works with SETI.
That'd be.
I know SpaceX just had a launch a few days ago.
They had an unsuccessful one not too long ago as well.
Well, I mean, you know, you're gonna every now and then you have a mistake.
Well, NASA doesn't have a space program really anymore in terms of manned space flight. So, I mean, that's always possible. I mean, the shuttle program is now gone. So, I mean.
Well, I think it'll come back once we figure out how to get a man to Mars. That'll be the next time that we'll see that program come back. Because I don't think they're going to be sending anybody back to the moon.
Oh, no, man. We're going back to the moon in the next 20 years. We're going back to the moon in the next 20 years.
Are we
going
to go back there
to make sure our flag's still there?
Is
no, we're going to go to the dark side.
Transformers. Transformers.
Damn, I was going to say Pink Floyd. It's just so simple. Just another brick in the wall. April's just looking at me, shaking her head.
Okay. The SETI Institute also benefits from the success of another program, the SETI at Home program, which is operated out of UC Berkeley. SETI at Home was launched in 1999 and was a tremendous success from the start, bringing the search for extraterrestrial life to people around the world in the comfort of their own homes. The free software download allows everyday people to volunteer their computer power to run a background program which processes data collected by radio telescopes in search of possible extraterrestrial signals, crowdsourcing at its finest. While the SETI Institute tracks signals in real time and does immediate analysis of its findings, the SETI at Home program looks at recorded data in depth and can look for a wider range of signals since time is not a factor. While the SETI at Home program at Berkeley and the SETI Institute are not affiliated, the programs are not rivals and share the common goal of finding out what, if any, intelligent life exists elsewhere in the neighborhood, in the universe. As to which is better, Dr. Tarter says, we will see which one finds life first.
I will say, I don't think that any, I do not think that any organizations that are looking for any sign of extraterrestrial life should be rivals. There should be free-flowing communication between, like, all these programs.
I agree.
No, and there's a good bit about this. Well, not a good bit, but, I mean, enough on the SETI website about the link to the SETI at Home program. And I remember when that program was launched, and it actually was really cool because it was coincided. It was only, like, a couple years after the movie Contact with Jodie Foster came out. You guys remember that one where she was the astrophysicist working at the array in New Mexico and discovered the signal coming from Vega. So then 2 years later, they launched this program. And I mean, I'm sure that movie had something to do with the tremendous success from the beginning. I know I remember when they launched it because I used to have it on my home computer and I couldn't do jack shit because I was too busy analyzing radio telescope data because, you know, it was dial up.
I have a feeling. Well, does this program still go on?
Yes, it is still available. Yes, so, you can go to the SETI at Home website and you can download the free program. And there's actually groups from different countries and stuff all over the world. There's message boards. It's really fabulous.
Well, see, what's interesting is that the way that this the way that it sounds like this works, it works exactly the same way as a virus would work on your computer.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't put it on my computer just based off of, like, that gives, if somebody gets access to the main hub of this program,
right.
Now they have access to all these computers, and, like, I mean, I like my computer. I don't want to share it with anybody.
Well, so I'm thinking
very
when
interesting
it launched back in 1999. Yeah, well, see,
yes.
When this launched in 1999, I don't think people were really thinking about that the way we think about it today. I mean, imagine,
no.
I mean, 20 years later. So
I mean, what, the
way
first
we
website?
Use computers.
The first website is what, like, 1993. So this would have been just like years after, like, the internet is starting to become mainstream. I mean, even in 1999, the internet is still in its infancy as far as, like, how we know it today. So, I mean, this wasn't really something that would have been worried about. I assume in today's internet world, the SETI at Home program, they they have a bunch of barriers and safeguards and stuff like that to prevent anything as such from occurring. I just know.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
As what I do for a living and how I know internet works, it definitely would make me feel weird to put it on my computer.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah,
it's the same way that data mining works.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's,
right.
I mean, it's not an uncommon practice.
No, but it's really cool if you think about what they're using it for. And, you know, the thing with this is, and what they point out is, like you said, time is of the essence with the data that comes in from SETI. So when the telescopes actually pick up some sort of signal, they have literally like a minute to realign scopes, focus where they're at, try to take out, you know, the noise and figure out where the signal is originating from, because they're trying to triangulate position. With this data, it's data that's been recorded, so there's really no way to go back. And one of the things they talk about on the SETI website is, while it's really good that they can analyze this stuff in depth, part of the reason why SETI is so good at what they do is because they're able to focus in, and if that signal is just like a one and done, then there's no way, if it's recorded from like months earlier, to kind of go back and fix on that place maybe, and to, you may never catch it again. Whereas here, if it's only like a short duration, they can realign those telescopes and they can potentially find where it's coming from.
Science.
Yeah.
Just all the science.
God, I love it. Oh my God, I love science. Such a nerd.
We all are. So it's kind of the basis of the show.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm at home. I'm a geek.
Carrie?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry,
she's
just
downloading
to...
SETI at home.
No, no,
she's
just trying.
Trying to zip up her human suit.
Is it a Doctor Who episode over there?
Always.
She's trying to zip up her human suit. That's what she's doing.
I'm trying to figure out if Dr. Frank Drake is related to Sir Francis Drake.
Oh my God.
why didn't we guess
that?
Are you
doing genealogy?
It's so obvious.
Maybe.
Are you doing genealogy right now?
I'm surprised she hasn't found an answer yet.
I'm working on it. I'm before the Revolutionary War.
Oh Lord.
I mean, she'll be done by the end of the episode.
Yeah, we'll have an answer. Don't worry, folks, we'll have an answer.
Okay, back to SETI. So despite SETI's apparent affluence, they do have their detractors, members of the scientific community, which take issue with the SETI Institute in one manner or another. Some view SETI research as little more than conspiracy theory explored by overzealous scientists who seek anything to feed their confirmatory hunt for life. Meanwhile, others simply take issue with SETI Institute work due to the regularity of negative results. This is really just a pretentious way to say that some scientists think that SETI is a waste due to its present inability to prove sentient life exists elsewhere. All of that said, how much merit is there in any academic who simply hand waves something because it can't yet be proven? Our team's writer, Zach, who is often the vehement skeptic, even finds such notions needlessly haughty and, quite frankly, lackluster. History's greatest discoveries have often been had by a combination of accidental success and mulish determination to prove something true. So what happens if the SETI Institute's work turns up something real? Surely NASA and countless other big-name industry leaders wouldn't divulge funding and form partnerships with the Institute if there wasn't some merit to their work, right?
I mean, I gotta say that poo-pooing something that is looking for something that's never been found before because it hasn't found something yet, it's kind of dumb.
Yeah, it hasn't proven... It hasn't proven that there's life somewhere else, but it also hasn't disproven it.
That's like...
Exactly.
That would be... That's people poo-pooing Christopher Columbus because he hadn't found land somewhere else. Like, he's out there sailing around. He's like, I haven't found anything yet, but I know there's stuff out there. Bitch, why are you searching?
Yeah, that's exactly what they said.
Ask
why are you asking all them questions, making statements?
That's exactly. Yeah, that's exactly how all that went down. Exactly.
Fuck it. This is April, everybody.
Verbatim.
I mean, you know, Christopher Columbus was lost, right?
I mean, I realized that he was lost, but I mean, that's the kind of the, like,
how are you gonna shit talk people who are looking for stuff that's never been found before? Because they haven't found
it hasn't been disproven either.
That's like basically shit talking the people that are working on cures for like cancer or AIDS or things like that because they haven't found the cure yet. So basically, let's just poo poo all their work because people are still dying. I mean, it's bullshit.
I think it's people hating just to hate.
Yeah, I agree. But
or maybe they're actors paid by SETI. So that way SETI will feel like, well, they're hating on us, so they know that we're onto something. The L. Ron Hubbard tactic.
They're actors paid by George Soros.
That's why they're hating on us, because they know we're on the right track.
That's right.
People love having haters.
Because they ain't us.
People love having haters. It's weird.
Uranus.
What?
Did you say, did you say anus?
Uranus. Uranus.
Your anus.
They changed it to your rectum.
What color is it today?
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no.
April, quick, get the chart. Get the
chart.
No! We don't need the chart.
I've muted her.
Oh, my God.
This is the beauty of having a mixing board. I can mute her.
Careful now. That might cost you later.
The power. Mwah. All right.
Like the butthole.
What?
Wow.
So
Carrie,
you act like you don't like the butthole. What I mean is the color.
God. Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord.
Hello, all my right. baby. Hello, my darling.
I'm going to bleach. Now that his privacy is all gone, I'm going to get him going.
I'm going to put you in time.
You know what, April, when you were mentioning that earlier, I was going to say, do you still have your chart, April? You could change the color of
it. Oh, my God.
Chocolate dip nuts.
What about them SETI guys?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Them SETI guys. Even
all right. All right. Okay. So we may honestly never know. Okay. But there is something to think about if it all turns up true. And we learned that we've been blasting radio signals to extraterrestrials for more than 50 years. What happens if they accept our invitations and seek? Oh, hold on a second. Sorry. I had a pop-up come on my phone. Sorry. Sorry. What happens if they accept our invitations and seek us out? It's very likely that if something or somebody makes contact with us first, we'll find ourselves technologically inferior by at least centuries, if not millennia's worth of advancement. So what happens then? Surely we'd hope that such visitors would be benign, yet the opposite bodes a terrifying concept. What do we do if we invite a hostile species to our front door? Despite the countless movies, TV shows, and epic motivational speeches delivered by Bill Pullman, there you go, Chris, that'd likely be the immediate extinction of the human race. So we're not even saying that there would be, like, a chance, like, we just all fucking die. After all, our planet is comprised of a wealth of natural resources and an obscenely rare habitable environment for carbon-based life, the habitable zone. So
yeah, the natural resources are quickly
nightmare.
Going away. So, I mean, if aliens appear upon us, I think the likely scenario would be that we would be looked upon as so like minuscule of anything to them that it'd be like, why even bother?
Okay, so this is where I'm going to disagree with you because, and this is all based purely on science fiction, that book that I just read, The Forge of God by Greg Bear, oh my God, that's what they thought too. And they thought that, you know, everything was benign and here it was just all a big smoke and mirrors game and they were just seriously out to destroy the planet. like, didn't care about anything. They just wanted to destroy the planet. Sorry to ruin the book for you guys who thought you want to read it. But, I mean, it was absolutely terrifying. The way the whole book laid it out with how the governments would interact and how, you know, people were fighting and, you know, this ship landed here and this ship landed in this country and this ship landed in this country and they're all thinking that there's something different going on. And really what's happening is the complete destruction of the Earth.
I mean, it sounds like Independence Day.
Yes and no, because there's some other things that kind of happened there. There is a second alien visitor that's actually there that is benevolent and helpful, that are like basically chasing these bad aliens through the galaxy.
And take pity
on the humans and select people to go with them. So it's a little different, but definitely it was really good. But yeah, I really think that if something were going to come here and they had hostile intentions, we'd all fucking die like instantly. We'd be dead.
Well, I think that's the thing. We always talk about, oh, well, hostile aliens. What's one to say that they're going to be hostile? And two, what's to say they're going to be more advanced than us? Maybe we haven't gotten a response. Not that I think this, because this is obviously very, like, big-headed. But what if we're the advanced aliens?
Well, I think,
what if
we're the ones
that are going to go invade other planets?
I think the reasoning
is what we do,
like,
as a species.
This is true. Hello, we would like to plant our flag here. I think
we are
American. In this scenario, it's having something come to us. So in that essence, if it's coming to us, it is going to be the technologically superior entity.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, like, know your worth. So we don't have to go out to them. They're going to come to us. Because
that's how we know SETI's American. Because, God damn it, we're not going to you. We're going to put out the radio signal and you come to us.
No, hashtag know your worth.
Hashtag me too.
That's
abducted
another
by
thing.
Aliens.
I mean, one of the things we're transmitting into space includes a diagram of two humans. So, I mean...
What?
One of the things that we transmit into space, and it has directions of how to get to us, and it has a male and a female human form.
See, now, should we really be doing that? I mean, I'm just saying. Like, I hate to play devil's advocate, you know, to be kind of like pissing all over this parade. But, like...
It's just a diagram of what humans look like.
Well, I mean, is it like a cave drawing of... No.
What Chris
no,
is
it's
asking
anatomically...
is, does it have dick and balls?
Ooh, anatomically correct. All right.
Yeah, so there's actually 116 images that NASA chose to send to aliens or future humans or whatever.
Surprisingly, a lot of them they got out of Playboy.
Well,
hey, the aliens need smut too.
They just might. You never know.
Hey, I mean, one theory is that aliens already come and, like, visit us. They're just invisible, and our planet is, like, a tourist attraction to them.
Hmm. Well, a committee that was led by Carl Sagan chose 116 images to send.
Yes, the most important images. Steak.
Chris, what...
bacon.
Well, Chris, what you're talking about is the movie They Live.
One of the images is of humans eating. One's licking an ice cream cone, one's biting a sandwich, and the other is pouring liquid into their mouth.
I wonder if one of the images shows one human shooting another human.
I mean, that is like an Ansel Adams photograph. So our solar location map. Like,
is
all
there
kinds
an image
of really
that
cool
shows?
Stuff.
Is there an image that shows like sex?
I don't think so.
Show the organs for that. So there's chemical definitions, DNA structure, cell and cell division, several anatomy images, skeletons, internal organs, rib cages, heart, lungs, kidneys, main blood vessels.
Now you're just giving them the roadmap to take us apart.
That's true.
Diagram of conception.
Hey, diagram of conception.
Diagram of conception.
Yes.
So internal processes, but like you don't show like penetration.
I'm sure in some regards it does show penetration.
We don't know what the aliens are doing with the images. They could be cutting them out and just like playing with them.
Well, I'm sure it does show penetration. I mean, that is part of the process.
Yeah.
I mean, you aren't wrong.
It's kind of a key part of the process.
You're not wrong.
Like,
honestly, I just wanted to say penetration. Brassers.
Yep, that's where they got it from. All right. Now that we've just gone completely off the rails.
How did we get
here? Oh my god.
So what happened?
Listen, he said it. He said it wrong, so I corrected him, and then everybody heard me say it. That's what happened. So let me set the story straight right now.
Oh, you can't. You can't have me laugh too hard. I'm gonna pee. Don't.
Oh boy. All right. So, what happens if we discover extraterrestrial life first? Do you believe that we would be the best?
Specifically, you and I and Carrie and Stacy.
Yes. with no effort whatsoever, just happened upon the.
I mean, I feel like this is quite a bit of effort, actually.
We're sending this into space to see if the aliens will come to us.
I can't stop laughing.
Do you believe that we would be the benevolent species? Come to lift our interplanetary neighbors into a new era of technological advancement? Or would we become the nefarious invaders, come to wipe the slate clean and seize their world for ourselves, a.k.a. Thanos, a.k.a. he might have been right? Human history is fraught with stories of genocide and conquest, and though we fancy ourselves as having advanced beyond that, imagine how drastically the dynamic would change with new habitable planets on the horizon. Yeah, we can just say, you know, send people to that planet that we don't like.
No.
I mean, that's...
Fucking what is wrong with you?
Like, if we found a new habitable planet that didn't have anybody on it, how do you figure out who goes to that planet?
It's not New Zealand. It's not like its own prison.
Oh, prison planet. Yes.
No.
Prison planet. Don't have to worry about overcrowded prisons anymore. Just send them to the prison planet.
Oh my god.
You don't even need a warden.
I'm gonna go back.
You don't need prison guards.
I don't think we can go back.
Well, I don't want to.
This makes for a fantastic movie.
I just want to go back to
Con Air 2. Con Air 2, Prison Planet.
Oh, no.
All right, that's it, folks. We're going to next
Cage
for next week's
every
episode.
Character.
Heck, you're trying to close it out? You're trying to close out the episode?
Tell him Steve Dave and just cut it, or
we ain't done yet. I'm glad you like that.
I'm crying.
I mean, I 100% believe that Nicolas Cage is an alien.
Oh yeah, he's got a fucking pyramid tomb.
They made it after he made National Treasure. What'd you expect?
For him to not pick that as his final resting place?
I mean, he's
listen,
very ostentatious.
National Treasure and National Treasure 2 are two of the greatest films ever made.
I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And right. The Secret Service has knocked on the door.
So for our listeners out there, these are but a handful of the implications one might be keen to think about when hoping the likes of SETI Institute
about when hoping the likes of the SETI Institute discovers extraterrestrial life elsewhere in the galaxy. What do you guys think? I ask you, readers and listeners.
Readers?
Okay. So,
it could be readers.
Are they listening in Braille?
They could be.
There's transcripts.
At this point, I'm just trying to make safety for your pants.
You're getting close. Oh, God.
Yes, Terry, you were saying?
I don't even know anymore what I was trying to say.
Well,
Con Air to Prison Planet.
Oh, my God.
Even anything to find.
Yes. Yes, there's shit to find.
Yes, totally.
So this script right here, so everyone that's listening, I'm just going to let you in on some insider shit. The script right here says, so like I've already done my little portion, and Carrie's portion is next, and it says, Carrie provides highly intellectual thoughts on topic and why we will or won't find it. Carrie, no pressure.
I mean, usually anything that Carrie says is usually highly intellectual anyway.
No pressure,
you
Carrie.
You know what's so funny? Hey, you know what, though? What's really funny is look at what I wrote for what me and Chris do.
I mean, but...
have opinions.
Fucking Con Air 2 Prison Planet. What else do you need? Nicolas Cage is back as the warden.
No, it's all right. I'm like the Pat Sajak of the show, so it's fine.
Are you going to spin the wheel? Would you like to buy a vowel?
Okay. I remember what I wanted to say.
All right. Go ahead.
So, are we saying what would we as a human race do, or what would we individually do when the aliens
respond? I think collectively. Because I mean,
well, I think you meant collectively, but now I'm interested in knowing individually.
Well, she would be up at the top of the skyscraper with a giant sign that says "Welcome Home, Aliens" while she's dancing.
I don't think she would. I don't think that's a thing.
Right before the aliens.
No, I don't think she would. I think Carrie would be in a Connex box that was buried 30 feet below the Earth's surface somewhere.
She already has built.
Probably.
She already has built somewhere.
Yeah.
In a mountain.
I mean, I've got a cave picked out.
A cave.
Yeah. Like, I think Carrie would immediately run.
But she
one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to hightail it to my cave. Number one, or alternatively, number two, I'm going to unzip my human suit and join my alien brethren.
I was going to say something like that.
So when you run for the cave, are you going to leave the children behind like that 9-year-old girl who got hit by a bison?
No, we've already got a plan.
April, I assume you haven't seen that video?
No.
So at Yellowstone National Park, there was this bison that apparently got ornery. While these people were like on a walking tour in the woods, and it's a family, and all of a sudden the bison gets angry and starts to charge, and the two parents just book it and leave their 9-year-old girl behind. The bison just flips the girl in the air.
Yeah.
She does, like, she only had like minor injuries. Like, she wasn't seriously injured at all, but she just, like, she gets flipped in the air as the bison just goes whoop.
Yeah. In the video, you see the bison come up. You see two adults running off frame, and then you see the girl get jacked up in the air, and the two adults are her parents.
Those parents have lost any ability to parent that child for the rest of their lives.
Oh,
yeah, can you talk about trust issues? Jesus,
can you go do
Christ.
Those chores? Oh, you want me to do those chores? What are you going to do to me? Let a bison hit me again?
Oh, God. That's really weird. Not funny.
It's not funny. It's fucked up. Oh, man.
Send those parents to Con Air 2 Prison Planet.
Yeah, right?
They're on the first transport.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Did you have any other highly intellectual thoughts that you wished to share on the topic?
I mean, obviously, there is other life out there in space. It would be silly to think that we're the most intelligent because we can't even take care of the planet that we live on.
Yeah, I think that's kind of counterintuitive.
I think that it's self-serving for us to believe that there is more highly intelligent
things out there. I think that it's a very scary thought if we were to think, you know, like, okay, no, this is it. This is literally it.
I think it's scary in both ways.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's scarier, though, if you're alone.
Well, I think the fear aspect is always that, oh, the aliens are going to come here to take over our planet because they want our resources. But, like, we're kind of on a downhill slide right now. I don't know that this is going to be their first pick.
I saw some crazy person posted that this is the beginning of the end times and that Helios was coming. I guess. I don't know what any of that means, but I was just I was going to look it up later, and I never got a chance to, so now I'm just saying it, so I feel like Carrie probably is going to tell me what that means, but I don't know.
I'm going to have to
Helios
look that up.
Helios is like the god of the sun. I did look that part up, but I don't know what prophecy that he was like involved in. I don't know what that means.
So you saw some, well, I assume a post on social media?
Yes, yes.
Somebody said that
Helios was coming.
A Greek god.
I don't know either, man. I didn't understand either. I did Google him, and couldn't figure out what the fuck they were talking about.
Be like an asteroid.
What comes up is end time signs, sun god Helios, and SOL, Statue of Liberty, from the Jesus First to the Point YouTube page, and I'm not even going to get involved in that. So
yeah, probably not.
Okay, well, you know what? I was curious. We got off the curiosity train. We embarked. We looked around. We said, fuck this, and got back on it.
There is an asteroid called Helios.
Oh.
No, if they're talking about the end times, I'm pretty sure it was the
Jesus things.
Jesus First to the Point YouTube page.
Okay. Helios 685 is an asteroid that would have collided with Earth in the year 2018 were it not for the intervention of the travelers.
Okay, so that's not...
Oh, God.
I don't know what that...
I mean, it's on the internet. It's got to be true. It's on the internet.
It has to be true.
Yeah. Hashtag facts. Everybody facts checks their shit before they put it on there.
Stacey, as a Christian, do you want to give your perspective on, you know, aliens and, you know, like God and how that whole thing kind of like, in your mind, how all of those things mesh together while we're on the subject of Helios and prophecies?
Right, because we got there so easily. So I struggle with this one a little bit, but only to the extent where I'm thinking about, you know, sort of aliens in the form like the movie Alien and things like that. But it's not a far reach for me because you guys know, I think I've shared this with you guys before, that like when I'm outside smoking, I always look up at this star that is a red giant right now and I watch it while I'm standing outside smoking because I can see it. I mean, you can see it with your naked eye. You can see that it has red. And I'm just waiting for one day, maybe I'll be standing out here just, you know, smoking my Marlboro, and all of a sudden I'll see something, and something will happen. And if you think about how all that works and what has to go into that to happen and how that all forms, and if you look at it from a Christian perspective and you believe in God and you believe that there is a creator that made all these things, it's very difficult for me to think that there is nothing there. I know there are other perspectives that say that, you know, God created man in his image, and that is probably, you could deduce from that, that man is the ultimate perfection, so there would not be anything else besides man because man is God's creation and his perfection. But at the same time, I just kind of struggle with that because it's just so vast and so immense, and we just don't know so much. I mean, I think that that's ultimately the struggle for any person that has religious beliefs, is when you look at the science aspect and you kind of reconcile that with the science that you know, it can be mind-blowing.
Hashtag mind-blown.
Yeah. Deep shit.
Deep shit.
Going deep.
Would you like Would you like to know my thoughts?
Yeah, I want to know, you know, if this confirms or negates your belief in Betty and Barney Hill.
I mean, you know me, that I believe that it is like this. Betty and Barney Hill happened. You know, aliens exist. They wish to probe us. They want to make hybrids. You know, we're just soft squishy flesh bags that, you know, they like to experiment on. But I am definitely of the opinion that there has to be something else out there. The space is too vast for there to be nothing else. We are not the only show in town. Why? I refuse to believe that our planet is the only planet that is able to sustain life. I refuse to believe. just because we haven't found anything yet. And, I mean, I assume we've probably explored, like, a fraction of what is actually out there. And who knows? Maybe we just haven't even developed the means to explore the proper spots that would have life on them. So, I would like to believe that if something catches our radio waves and sees our provocative pictures that we're shooting into space, that they, if when they came here, they wouldn't immediately try to enslave us or just, you know, destroy us. That they would, you know, lend a hand, maybe give us a little boost up, and like, here you go. This is what you're like. You guys are on the right track, but this is your missing piece on how to, you know, achieve intergalactic travel, interplanetary travel, which then exponentially expands our ability to survive. Because, eventually, at the rate we're going, I don't think this planet's going to be around much longer in the state that's habitable. So, I kind of hope that they come and visit.
April, what do you think? And then I have one more thing to say.
About aliens?
Yes.
Are you going to be the one? Are you going to be the ugly duckling here? And
no, I don't think I am. I think that it is more probable that we are not alone in the universe. I think that it is a little egotistical for us to imagine that whatever the being is, that being would look like us. So the idea of the grays or the idea of how they look or whatever, like, yeah, that could be the way that they actually look. However, it could also just be our rationalization of what we would think that someone who is extraterrestrial would look like, which indeed they might not at all. Like, if you watch, and I hate to use a cartoon as a reference here, but it is a really great cartoon. Like, if Rick and Morty, then the alien species on there kind of take all forms. And I think that that's probably more accurate than anything. And I think that, God, I'll probably get fired for this, but I think that there is already life here, extraterrestrial life here, from other planets on this planet. I think that we have already been living in harmony with the aliens for a very long time.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. Maybe they aren't integrated into society. Maybe there's some measures that have been taken for them to, like, you know, integrate appropriately and to look right. I mean, God knows my best friend is a gray, so I mean, it's fine.
Would you say they're illegal aliens?
They are. Well, I think that they would be legal aliens.
I think that they have been a part of this society. I think that they have been a part of this world for far longer than anyone.
Well, I mean, I can definitely see where, like, you look at our technological advances that just skyrocketed once we developed the microprocessor. And, like, it would not surprise me in the least if there was, like, there was alien technology that fueled that development.
Yeah. I agree.
What were you saying, Carrie? You said you had something else?
Oh, yeah. So, well, what you said about them being here for a long time, I mean, whether they're from outer space or from another dimension that's parallel to ours, something that I've thought about in the past is, like, what if they have always been here and they've always been appearing to us, but the way that they look changes over time. So with the advent of science fiction, we get the grays and all that kind of stuff, and they come in a silver, metal, spaceship, etc. But if you go back to the Tuatha De Danann and when they first appeared in Ireland, it sounds a whole lot like spaceships and aliens arriving. So what if it's just we're explaining it with the words that we have at that time period? We're seeing it through the lens of where we are as a species at that time period.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, it's possible that aliens could be more, not necessarily physical, but, you know, psychological in nature. Psychic phenomena.
So Carrie just messaged me and said that Justin Roiland, who is
one of the creators, yes.
Right, for Rick and Morty, is autistic. And so now I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, well, what if that is
a conduit for alien?
No, but what if that is the sign that that person has alien genes? That person is
alien,
like,
DNA?
Yeah, that person is descended from an integrated member of alien society.
Well, hey, I can actually tell you that the genes for autism come from Neanderthals.
So then,
are we saying Neanderthals were aliens?
I mean,
could be part alien.
Don't do that. Don't do that to
Stacey.
Don't do that to Stacey.
Let me tell you.
Well, no, I mean, Carrie, you and I both have autistic children. So, what do you think of this?
Well, Carrie already thinks she's an alien, so.
Yeah, but I'm still kind of on the fence here.
Elon Musk? Elon Musk is not human. He's sexy, but he's not human.
No. The answer to that first statement is no. And the answer to the second statement is yes.
I agree with the second statement. The first, Elon Musk kind of looks like a salamander.
Listen. He looks like he bought his human suit at the Dollar General.
No, I think Elon Musk is very
He sent a car to space so his buddies could have something to drive.
He looks
like that dude that Liza Minnelli used to be married to.
He does.
David, what's his face? I don't
yes.
know what his name is.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying
David Guest.
That
yes.
You know, like maybe that's something. And that's not anything disparaging. I mean, like, obviously there's lots of people that have autism that are extremely attractive and incredibly talented and very smart. Elon Musk, fucking genius. So, you know, like maybe Kevin, you might want to look at Kevin a little strange. Stacey, but ain't you that it's
yeah.
him. I mean, he does enjoy
yeah.
running. Who the fuck enjoys running?
Oh my god, he's up to 7 miles.
50 miles.
Who the fuck
does
that? He's the alien. We found him. He's the alien.
At like 4 o'clock in the morning, it's like 7 miles, and I hear about this shit, and I'm like, yeah, you know what I did today? I ran away from my problems. Like, you know, like.
I work with a lady who ran 50 miles. In one go.
Yeah, ultra marathoners.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Craig was an ultra marathoner.
Why would you do that? Why?
Ironman's like 100 miles.
Oh, that no.
Yeah.
No. Why do you need to do this? Yeah. what do you have to prove?
with the amount I'm smoking, I can't even imagine trying to walk up a 2 flights of steps at this point.
We need to get
let alone running
on the VR fitness that we've got that I got going. I'm glad the aliens helped us make VR because it's helping me in my fitness regimen. My body really hurts. Well, I think we've about covered it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. All right, guys.
We managed to get penetration and probing in the same episode. I think that deserves some sort of like.
Well, I mean, if
Oh my god, yes,
we've managed to talk about dog testes and all sorts of fun stuff on an episode that was about, you know, an organization looking for extraterrestrials.
It's been an hour and a half of an episode.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, guys, it's time to get to bed. It does.
Are we getting a Webby?
We're getting that old Betty Barney Hill treatment.
Yay!
Zolling out and out.
Oh my God.
All right, everyone. Well, we will see you not next week, but the week after. We are taking a break next week. Taking a break to kind of mellow out. So we will see you the following, and let us know on Facebook how you enjoyed this. So we'll see you later.
Yeah, remember, stay freaky, and, you know, stay geeky.
Bye, guys.
See you next time.